Take your Bibles tonight, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We've been going through a series on discipleship, spiritual maturity on Sunday nights. We've been going on Bible invitations on Sunday mornings. And tonight we're going to talk about the mature Christian. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 33. And in this passage, a familiar passage, it says in verse 17, it says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Marriage is the way that God intended for it between a man and a woman. It emulates Christ and the church. Anything that is other than that defiles them and the church, and it does not do any good at all, and it is error. There is no such thing as a homosexual marriage. It is sinful. It is abomination.
Amen.
And they need to come to Christ. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. So we've been talking about maturity. And maturity is a good word. You know, some of us want to go back and regain our youth. And youth is good, but maturity is better. I like that commercial about benefits, that wisdom has benefits. And that person goes through and does all these neat things, and everybody goes, wow. Folks, we need to mature. We need to be mature. You know, there's maturity in nature. The full bloom of a rose means that dead is God intended purpose. It's not summertime yet. But when you can have watermelon and it's all red and it meets your needs, that makes you happy, doesn't it? Or finding shade under a shade tree. You know, all these are mature creations of God. And they do a purpose, and we benefit from that maturity. Folks, we benefit from spiritual maturity, not as individuals only, but as a church and as families and as a country. See, a mature Christian has grown up in the faith, born again by faith in Jesus, taught by faith in the Scriptures, mature through suffering and able to comfort people with the same comfort that we had through our trials. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "But speaking the truth in love, every one of us may grow up into" who? Him. "In all things which is the head, even Christ." So tonight I want to look at several things out of this passage about the mature Christian. First of all, there is the mature Christian's wisdom, as we find it here in verse 17. It says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise." See, the world is interested in accumulating knowledge. But what about searching for the truth? You know, they say that education is everything. No, salvation is everything.
Amen.
God's grace is everything. God's mercy is everything. All those things we need much more than education. Because the Psalm says, I'll be smarter than my teachers if I follow God. See, the world's going to ever learn but never come to the knowledge of the truth, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. It says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. I like the internet. I like to go on YouTube and find out how to fix my car or fix my washing machine or fix something. That's great knowledge. And we have this, we have all this knowledge, but people get all wrapped up in that, and we really don't search for the true knowledge of Christ. So, wherefore be ye not unwise. And the issue is, are we actually searching for knowledge? We should be searching for truth. See, the mature Christian seeks wisdom. See, wise ones know what to do with wisdom. The most, you can talk about Solomon and his wisdom. But when I think of wisdom, I think of Daniel. I think of Daniel because here's Daniel. He's gone through all these trials. He's been taken out of his country. He's been made a eunuch. He's been made to conform or try to conform to the Babylonian system, but he refuses that. He honors God in that. And he and his friends go through some fiery trials. And then Daniel, because of his wisdom and his faithfulness to God, gets the truth of the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. And it elevates him, it promotes him up to a point that he can actually help others. But what he says here is in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, when there's the issue about everybody being killed until they can interpret the dream, he says this, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For what? For wisdom and might are his. See, Daniel knew not what to do with God's wisdom. It was to use it to glorify God. That's what we need to do with God's wisdom. So wise men know what to do with wisdom. Mature Christians should know the source of wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? What's the first thing? Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And righteousness. And sanctification. And redemption. If it's not about Christ, it's not wise. It's not true. We need to be sold out to Him. And so, the thing is when we're wise, we know what to do with that. When we're wise, we know where it comes from. And when they're wise, we go and we get more. We know where to get more wisdom. In James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you what? Lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberty and abradeth not, and it what? Shall be given him if you have the faith. If you have the relationship with Christ, then he will give you that. Can God trust you with his wisdom? See, if you can be trusted with God's wisdom, you're mature. Because mature Christians have wisdom. See, mature Christians find the will of God and do it. And here in verse 17, it says this. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise. So the implication is to be what? Wise. Then it goes on, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Folks, it's time to understand what the will of the Lord is. And that's what it says in the verse. So I'm going to ask you three questions right now to consider. The first one, have you found the will of God for your life? The first thing is salvation. Do you know Him as your Savior? It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. He's long-suffering in that. Have you found the will of God for your life? If you have not found Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are out of His will. You need to find Him. Christian, if we know Christ as our Savior, it is God's will that we do what He wants us to do. And we're supposed to be conformed to His image. That is His will. And so that should be our benchmark for what we, how we live our lives. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, don't do it. Don't say it. Don't believe it. Follow Christ. Second question. Do you seek the will of God each day? This is the day the Lord hath made. We can't do anything about the days and the nights and hours. And we can't make time. All we can do is use time wisely. The wise person redeems a time for the what? The days are evil. So the first question, have you found the will of God for your life? It's not a mystery. It's doing the right thing. It's following righteousness. It's following truth. It's having God's grace. It's seeking Him daily. Thirdly, is doing the will of God your delight? We've been studying through Psalm 119 and how the psalmist delights in the word. It is something that he holds in high esteem. Folks, we need to hold the will of God in high esteem. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, a familiar passage, but it's something that we need to keep on being reminded of. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the continual renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. You can't do the will of God living in the world. You can't do the will of God thinking like the world. You can't do the will of God speaking like the world. You can't do it. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. We can't do that. So we see the mature Christian's wisdom. Wherefore, be not unwise. We're searching for the truth. We know where to get it. We know it comes from God. Second point. The mature Christian's worship. In verses 18 and 20, it says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, worship is a constant thing. There is private worship where we need to get alone with God. Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount that you're supposed, when you pray, put yourself in the closet so that what you pray for secretly, God rewards you openly. You do your alms in secret. Don't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing. So your Father in heaven, which sees you do this secretly, will reward you openly. There is a time for private worship. We do need a quiet time where we get alone with God and we pray to Him and we look at His Word. I had a question a student asked this week. How does God speak to us? And I said, well, He speaks through the Word. So if you never open God's Word, you'll never know what He's going to say. He speaks through other people. So you hear the message, you hear the wisdom. You speak to Him in prayer. And then He also speaks through circumstances too. He speaks through things like, things not going well, you might want to get right with God. So worship needs to be private and also needs to be public. And I'm so delighted, even on Sunday night we have a big crowd. On Wednesday, that's great. That's great. And we need to have corporate worship. See, the mature Christian's worship is spiritual. Is to be filled with the Spirit. Now, some people take that out of context, say you're supposed to jump up and down and do all sorts of things. No, that means you know that you're in the right place with God. And you can sense the presence of God. You can see the moving of God. You can hear the truth of God. You can see that. See, there is no format to it. It's not given to a certain format. It's not given to a certain form of worship. There's a lot of people say, well, unless you worship like us, you're really not worshiping. It's not that. It's not like that in the Bible. Show me where that is in the Bible. It's not a certain order of service, or there's not a certain ceremony or liturgy to it. It's supposed to be free flow. See, Christ told the woman at the well, you're going to worship God in how? In spirit and in what? In truth. And there's a lot of false out there that people call worship. So, the mature Christian worship is spiritual. Spiritual. Be filled with the Spirit. Not given the forms and ceremony. It's supposed to be heartfelt and Spirit directed. It says, but be filled with the Spirit. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Your worship to bring you into the love of God. That should be the goal. So, the mature Christian's worship, first of all, is spiritual. It's led by the Spirit. The mature Christian's worship is scriptural. It says here, speaking to yourselves in psalms. Speaking to yourself in psalms. Now, we know where psalms are. We're going through a long one right now. And so we need to know this. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I won't sin against you. That's a psalm. The mature Christian's worship involves singing. Now I'm glad that y'all sing for the most part. But there are people out there.
Yep.
People out there. Bless me, God! I dare you to. Well, you got that kind of attitude. It ain't happening. It's not happening. It's not happening. So it goes here and says it needs to be spiritual. It needs to be scriptural. And then it needs to involve singing. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, and what? Spiritual songs, singing. Singing. You have no excuse. The Bible says you're supposed to sing. So sing. If you don't sing, you're out of God's will. For him to know it through good, doeth not to him sin.
Right. All joyful noise.
Hey, this is black and white.
Yeah.
It is black and white. Music can be a powerful expression of worship when you're focused on God and you're not focused on the performance of the music. And you're not focused on the beat or the sound or the loudness of it. It is. And oh, by the way, you better get ready to sing because music is a form of worship in heaven. So you might as well learn right now. I'll give you two examples. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 says, and they what?
Sung.
And they what?
Sung.
New song. We should always be trying to learn new songs. Okay? And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And they're singing about who? Christ! He alone is worthy. In Revelation chapter 15 verse 3. Oh yeah, look at this one. And they sing the song of what?
Of
Moses.
That's scripture, folks. That's how the Bible was transmitted. The Word of God was transmitted from generation to generation until it was written down. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb said, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." What's the singing about? It's singing about glorifying God. It puts your mind on God. It sets you to worship Him. It sets you to worship Him. Next, the mature Christian's worship comes from a grateful heart. In verse 20 it says, giving thanks how?
Always.
We talked about growth through trials last week. You're supposed to give thanks through trials. You're supposed to give thanks when you have good things happening to you. In everything, give thanks. Give thanks always for, not just always, but for what?
All things.
Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we need to give thanks always. And we need to thank God. We need to be thanking God for all things. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, in what? Everything for give thanks. For this is the what? Will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you're not giving thanks daily for God, you're out of God's will. If you're not praising God, you're out of God's will. If you're not conformed to His image, you're out of God's will. See, you have mature Christians in God's will. So we see the mature Christians worship. And thirdly, we see the mature Christians walk. The first thing is, in verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. See, the mature Christian has learned to submit. Submitting yourselves one to another. Jesus is our example. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, it says, let this mind be in you. Okay, so here is this. The mature Christian has the mind of Christ. His mind is focused on Christ. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being found in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself no reputation. Folks, Christian service is not about getting recognized. Christian service is about doing the will of God. Period. It's not about having a position. It's not about having prestige. Look who God chose as His disciples. Just plain, ordinary people like us. We can have revival, folks. We can have revival. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So Jesus is our example. Submission is the opposite of self-will. You've got to give yourself up. That's what Christ said, take up your cross, what? Daily, and what? Follow me. In James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves, how? Therefore. See, the issue is, it's an expected thing. James has been writing all this. Now he comes to this point, and he says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, there needs to be submission even in the home. In verse 23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the servant, and he is the Savior of the body. Husbands, you're a servant to your wife. Period. That's what it is. Okay? The mature Christian walks in love. We could go into 1 John 3 and 1 John 4 and talk about that. We talked about what is the greatest commandment of the law today. It's about love. And verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as what? Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you understand what our measure of our life is? It's Christ. It's his word. It's his truth. That is the measure for us. Amen. That is the barometer and the thermometer of how we live. The mature Christian represents Christ continually. That how are our marriages, how are our families supposed to operate? Verse 26, that he might what? Sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. It's talking about the church, but it's also talking about the family. That he might what? Present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That should be holy without blemish. See, we are a holy, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Be therefore holy, for I am holy, thus saith the Lord. See, we represent Christ continually. We can go on and read this, but the issue is that we put God first. We put God first in everything, and we do things God's way. We do things God's way. So in closing tonight, how long has it been since you checked the grub? You know, when you had kids, you probably put your kids up against the core jam, and you marked their height. Okay? We have the door jam right here. And we need to be measured up against it. We need to have God measure us. And you know something? We ought to be getting taller. And not shrinking. Okay? And not shrinking. So, how long has it been since you checked your spiritual growth? How mature are you? Well, you got to start somewhere. You have to start with salvation. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you know Him as your Savior, then you're supposed to grow in the fullness of God. Let's do that. Amen? Let's say. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we just ask you this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, to grow and continue to grow to be the mature Christians that you want us to be. Help us, Lord, to worship you with wisdom, Lord, and with worship, and in walk. Help us to be wise in all these things. We give you this time, we give you ourselves, and we ask that you work your will and way tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.